Hello, Extraordinarily Fresh Fantasy League. Welcome to the podcast for week 9. I'm your host, Skip, and I'm here with Simon. How's it going?
Hey, what's going on, Fresh Family? Just another Thursday here watching Tennessee and Pittsburgh struggle. But I'm ready to get into this podcast. Let's get into it.
All right, wonderful. So, Simon, you're on to be a co-host, but you also had a massive point showing. You ended up getting high points on the week with 185.4, a good 25 points above the next highest scorer. So what do you think propelled you to victory and then subsequently into the playoff race?
Well, I mean, Skip, I've been looking at this for a long time. Mm-hmm. I was distraught at the beginning of the season, all right? Had a good team coming out of the draft. I go 1-4. I always felt like my team had the talent, but I faced some very hard matchups. Looking back on it, you know, I think two or three of the first three weeks were tough teams. So I think it's a combination of, you know, first getting the win was and it was interesting when you approached me for a trade because I looked at you at my schedule. I said, wait, all of his players are on bye this week. And so funny story is that's why I asked for Javorius Allen, because I could have gone for James White in the Cooper Kupp trade, but I was like, I'm going to buy a player and then give him a non-bye player for that week.
So, right, exactly.
But I'm not going to lie, you did a really good job of adjusting to your bye weeks, because when I first looked at it, I was rubbing my hands together, man. I was like, here we go. I was like, if I can get that win, I'll be good. But you started adjusting, and I got nervous. I said, oh, wait, he got Peterson? I said, oh, hold up. I gave him Cooper Kupp. He got Macklin, and then I started getting nervous. But I think it's just one of those weeks where everybody clicks. But the thing I will say about my team and why, you know, I was disappointed at first is because I had a lot of talent there. So, you know, Tyreek Hill, T.Y. Hilton, and Golden Tate, those are all high-ceiling players. They can get you a lot of points at any given game. And so, you know, if you look back, like, all of them came out with a hard game. So, you know, I always had faith in my team. It took a long time for it to materialize. So it took a long time for everything to materialize and then and for me to get this win streak going.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. It takes a long time for most people. And I think it's better, obviously, to have it happen later in the season than earlier. You definitely want to peak going into the playoffs, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, as far as high points, you know, that's my first high points ever. So, I mean, that's exciting to get, you know, to know that your team, at least in the championship, could put up high points. Like, that's good to know moving forward.
Absolutely. So just looking at some of the high performers, you already mentioned one of them, the high performer on the week was T.Y. Hilton with a monster game, five catches, 175 yards, and two touchdowns, just really torching Houston. And, you know, I will say, and I think you remember this, I said on the message board right before the game started, I said, I expect T.Y. Hilton to have a huge day. And he ends up being the highest scoring player. So yeah, I'll say, you know, I was very, you know, clairvoyant there.
You know, clairvoyance is strong. I guess we'll have to give you the title of Negro Domus now, because you definitely came.
Right, yeah, because AJ is not carrying that mantle right now. He's very incorrect in most of his predictions recently. So the second highest scoring player is the one.
You're breaking up a little bit. Hold on. I'm trying to get you back.
What about now?
Hold on. All right. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hey, Skip, can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I think it's more stable. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
That's a lot better.
All right.
Oh, yeah, about T.Y. Hilton, you know, you were very clairvoyant on that. I was sitting at the Philly and Denver game. You know, my parents came up to watch it. I was sitting there, and I looked at the scoreboard. They showed the different scores. I said, T.Y. Hilton, 75 yards and a touchdown already. I started rubbing my hands together. I already knew. But always torches those bad defenses, though. He always does.
Absolutely.
That's why. Absolutely. That's why I had to trade him away, because his schedule's scary.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, looking down at his schedule, yeah, he's gonna face some tough ones. Now, absolutely. I mean, the thing that really stuck out to me was the second highest scoring player, and you know, we've seen this over the, you know, course of the next couple of weeks manifest itself into, you know, him really achieving his potential, and that's Marvin Jones, wide receiver, Detroit Lions. You remember last year, I think it was like the first 4 weeks of the season, he was an absolute beast, and then he really teetered down the stretch. But now we're starting to see him emerge in that Lions offense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Stafford started out a little slow this season, I think. But whenever you have a guy like Stafford throwing you the ball, you have to figure that at some point somebody like Marvin Jones is going to get hot. I think also, you know, it's interesting because at first I would have said, well, Stafford has a little bit more targets. He's got Kenny Golladay now. But actually, he's done it kind of in the absence of Kenny Golladay playing.
Right, right.
And so I also associate Marvin Jones' increase with, you know, Golden Tate doing better too. So it's not necessarily that they're just focusing down on Tate. So I don't know. Maybe Marvin Jones is just hungry this year. You know, I think sometimes we tend to underestimate that. Players are people. They got their own lives. They got their own things going on. Sometimes somebody's going to have a down year, and sometimes somebody's going to be hungry for it. And maybe he's just hungry for it this year. I don't know. But somebody with that kind of talent, I think eventually over the long term, they're going to have a good season like Marvin Jones is having now.
Right. And then another observation from this week, it was not a great week for running backs. I mean, the highest scoring running back was Alvin Kamara. He had a great game, but, you know, it was
Shout out to Newell for that draft choice, by the way.
Yeah, shout out. That was a great one. I mean, and this one was mostly driven by his receptions. It wasn't really rushing based. In terms of rushing games, realistically, Corey Clement had just an aberration. Great game. And I guess you were at that game, right?
So I had to keep hearing the Fly Eagles Fly song every time they they got into the end zone. So I was very familiar with Corey Clement by the end of that game.
right. I mean, the only high end running back to really, you know, score a ton of points was Todd Gurley. And, you know, as we're talking now, he is the RB1 on the season. And in terms of PPR scoring, he's the RB1 over Kareem Hunt by about 26 points. And now the distance between Kareem Hunt, the RB2, and the RB8 is about the same amount of points. So Todd Gurley is far and away the RB1 in most fantasy leagues right now.
Yeah, I mean, Todd Gurley, you know, call it the sophomore slump. But I think that really you look at this Rams offense, and this is why my new philosophy in fantasy football is to stop investing in players and start investing in systems, because we all know what Todd Gurley did when he first came out of the draft. And he demolished everything in the league, and I think he did it with missing the first three or four games or something like that. So you know the talent's there. That terrible season last season. And all of the Rams can't do anything. Now all of a sudden they restructure, they get targets, they can throw the ball. And now Todd Gurley really can breathe in this offense. And so that's why I think, you know, you really got to invest in systems as well as players. But we all knew that the talent was there. I mean, he clearly leaped over somebody, you know. you can't unsee something like that. So I think that Todd Gurley just I think he's finally coming into his own again in a system where he can actually breathe now, you know?
Right. Absolutely. And then in terms of game action, one of the games that stuck out to me was the Thursday night football game. We had Tyrod Taylor, of course, you know, 285 passing yards, 2 touchdowns. He also rushed for 35 and a touchdown. In our league, he scored 26.9 points. And it just so happened that he was overshadowed by the number one draft pick from last year, Jared Goff, facing the Giants defense. Shout out to Roland and Ish on that one. Facing the Giants defense, he passed for 311 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Yeah. You look, I made fun of Jared Goff on many a message board before the season came on.
Yeah, I'm sure. You are not alone in that.
And, you know, as they're calling him King Joffrey now, I mean, this dude is absolutely on fire. Some of it is due to targets. I mean, you got Robert Woods, you got Cooper Kupp now, you got Sammy Watkins, but I just think he's playing at a high level. He's showing a lot of talent. And but, you know, when you got a guy like Gurley running the ball a lot, that's also making the defense question themselves, and that's opening up opportunities. And now you're benefiting from that because you have one of his targets now, Cooper Kupp.
Right. I mean, I think realistically, you know, McVay came in, and I love how he basically saw the strengths in his players. I mean, it's the sign of a great offensive coordinator, but it's also the sign of a great head coach. To see what your players are good at and build a system that accommodates that.
Mm.
And he's really done a masterful job at that.
And I think having Gurley there to kind of bear the brunt of the work really takes the pressure off of a young quarterback. You know, when you know on any given play, it's not only going to be in your hands that you have a very talented running back backing you up. Make you a little bit more comfortable, make you play a little bit better.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, in all facets of the game, the Rams are looking great. Like, the offensive line is playing well. Like, they're throwing the ball well. They're running the ball well. The defense is looking good.
Oh, the water boys, yo, they get
they're getting that water right on time
in the NFL. Yep, right there. They got the bottle in your helmet. Yeah, I mean, everything's firing right now.
Yeah, they are clearly the team for LA, whereas the Chargers are in a small stadium. Nobody knows they're there. They don't even know.
all the salty Oakland fans driving up just to throw salt on you.
Right.
Or no, San Diego fans, not Oakland.
Yeah, the San Diego fans. Yeah, they drive over just to throw salt on you, just to boo you.
Just watch that Elon Musk Hyperloop comes through. There's about to be more San Diego fans out there than anybody else.
Man, I'm telling you, that's a terrible situation, man. I've seen lots of things. People saying they have 1.5 teams now in LA.
Wow. That's funny.
Oh, man. So looking forward, going past the NFL action and looking forward to our fantasy league, we did have a number of scores. I mentioned yours. Your win in week 9 was, of course, against me. And kind of spurred the common adage that if you play the commish, you're likely to get high points. So, you know, if we're looking at week 11, then Ronnie, he should be on the lookout. So the score between us, you got 185.4. I scored 110.5. Brad ended up beating.
And I'm gonna reiterate something. Okay. You had to battle for that 110 because you drafted the whole Patriots.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like again, I applaud you for that because I thought it was all a wrap, but you put up that 110. With half of your team on by.
right, exactly. And then we had Brad who beat Roland, and that was the second highest score. So he won 160-12 to 115-48.
Well, yeah. I will say if this was the first 4 games of the season, then Brad could beat the Patriots.
Yeah, this is very true. Yeah, he'd be putting up some serious offensive points, right? All right, so then we had the lowest scoring matchup of the week, and that was AJ beating Ish 96-82 to 89-62. Not very good scoring, guys, and this has become a pattern with Ish's team. He's underperformed in weeks, and his opponents have also underperformed. So this is kind of why his record is the way it is. And then the next one we had Eric, who, and this is Eric Farrell, who finally got his first win, and he got his first win against Jewel with a convincing score of 137-62 to 89-58.
I'm going to say this. I think that Eric assembled a good squad, especially for his first year in the league. He came out, he got Zay Jones, the rookie, which didn't end up working out for him. But I really like what he assembled here. I mean, Philly wide receivers in an offense that's one of the most prolific passing offenses right now. You can't be mad at that. So things just didn't work out this year so far. But yeah, I think he did a good job assembling a squad the first year.
Yeah, I mean, you look at his points for and points against, it pretty clearly tells the story of what's going on. He's just had bad luck in weeks, realistically.
Yeah.
So the next one was Chad. Chad ended up beating Clint in a battle of family members, and that was 127-30 to 94-96. We had Shane, who ended up beating Ronnie, 115-66 to 94-94. And then finally we had Clint. We had JR, who beat Eric Golden, and that was 150-54 to 74-80. Have any impressions on these games?
I mean, it's getting to that point where people are starting to realize, or teams are starting to kind of show their true colors in a way. I think that what I like about this year is that three through six spot is almost completely competitive. And you see that here where we're seeing this ping pong with the teams that are tied up at 4-4, 5-5 are starting to go back and forth, back and forth. So, I mean, I think the most consistent team this year has definitely been, you know, the Clint's team. But we'll just have to see what goes on further. I think everybody's putting in a good effort, but teams are now starting to show their true colors, and we'll see what that shakes up to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's particularly exciting because, you know, there are some years where teams are eliminated far too early in the season, and you right. kind of just have this uninteresting race towards the end of the season. But now you've got as many as, you know, I would say 12 teams who are still in contention for one of the six spots. So yeah, it makes it extremely interesting. And, you know, even when the second rivalry week comes, it'll make that extremely interesting because there could be playoff implications in that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, great. So looking at the league, we had a number of transactions. You mentioned a number of trades that happened. And so we normally do the waiver wire report, but there weren't that many waiver wire moves. The most significant of them had to do with the Ezekiel Elliott suspension situation. And right. it was Rod Smith going to Ronnie. We talked about that one in the last episode, but he ended up dropping Rod Smith and then picking him back up. So it was still significant because Ezekiel Elliott finally got suspended. And, you know, he's finally going to serve the 6-game suspension.
You know, I really feel like the reason they dropped the appeal is because they don't want to lose Ezekiel Elliott for the playoffs.
Yeah, and absolutely.
If I were the Cowboys, I would have forced Ezekiel Elliott to take his suspension at the beginning if I could, because you don't want to lose your top player going into the playoffs. You have a certain amount of momentum that you have. You have a certain amount of offensive production that you expect for the next 6 weeks when things are really on the line. So I just think that whole situation was interesting how it shaked out, and now, you know, all of a sudden that playoff games are at risk. They're like, hey, go ahead and drop this or drop the legal battle, you know?
Right, exactly. So, I mean, in terms of the trades, so with the last episode, we were talking to Clint, and we ended up stopping at his trade with Ish to basically get Mike Wallace. Well, actually, he ended up getting Mike Wallace and then sending – oh, no, actually, it was the opposite way. So he ended up getting Sharkhandrick West and sending Mike Wallace to Ish and this was basically securing his handcuff. And for Kareem Hunt, you know, if Kareem Hunt gets hurt, Wes will be the guy. So it's absolutely a reasonable move.
So just watch Akeem Hunt get the nod. Akeem Hunt will be the dude.
Be like, Akeem, man. And all those people who got suckered into getting them would be right.
Yo, that, I mean, that's karma right there. Somebody's going to end up winning a Super Bowl off of that. But but yeah, I mean, that's a smart move. You know what I mean? I mean, you're trading away somebody who has, you know, performed decently over the season. You know, nothing too incredible, but you're getting a guy who is basically supplanting your main source of production if he goes down. Now, I don't expect Sarkendrick West to get Kareem Hunt numbers if he plays, but I'd rather have him than not. And I'm kind of tasked with the same thing in my other leagues where I have Kareem Hunt. Is like, do you go ahead and waste that roster spot and secure him? I mean, the dude is durable, but you just never know what's going to happen. So, and that kind of plays into why Clint's been one of the most consistent teams in the league right now. He drafted well. He's avoided injuries, severe injuries thus far. So I like this move right here, especially going into the playoffs.
Yes, absolutely. And then we're going into a little bit of week 10 stuff, but we'll stop at week 10. And the next trade here is between JR and Eric. So after JR beat Eric, then Eric ended up initiating a trade with him, it looks like. And Eric sends Kyle Rudolph and Jay Ajayi to JR. JR sends back Sammy Watkins and Evan Ingram.
I like what Eric is doing here. So we've already talked about you're going to have Christian McCaffrey at, what, a $45 price point, increasing 20%. That, I mean, that's going to be tough. So you'll be coming out at around $100. Yeah, then you have Ezekiel Elliott.
Well over $100.
and he's going to increase 25%, right?
Right, he's going to increase 25%.
So now you're looking at a guy that's 150, about $150. And between McCaffrey and Elliott, I mean, that's nearly your draft budget. So, you know, bringing guys like Evan Ingram, Juju Smith-Schuster, Juju Smith-Schuster, like bringing in these guys who can still perform right now, but at the same time are going to be cheaper than these big name players. I think that's a good move. I mean, you're essentially hedging your bets. You're giving yourself a good enough chance for this year while getting rid of some of your salary cap for next year. So I think it's a good move right here. And then right on week 10, you know, Evan Ingram puts up a big game. So I say, hey, I think it's good. And obviously it's good for JR because he keeps on solidifying his position as having the best running backs in the league this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you get to add sort of that fourth running back to, you know, Devontae Freeman and Todd Gurley and Lamar Miller.
If this was a snake draft, you would have never guessed he'd have ended up with them players, yo.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, how many trades did you have to make to get that?
I mean, that's got to be a record book. How many RB1s can you have on a team? Like, that just don't make no sense.
Right. And I mean, it is a significant loss. Like, let's not underplay this. I mean, let's not downplay this. It's Evan Ingram, right? He's doing things that rookie tight ends don't normally do. And, yeah, you know, he's putting up points in an offense that's devoid of receivers, minus Sterling Shepard. And he's taking that role as a dependable receiver for Eli Manning.
Yeah. I mean, what I kind of worry about for Eric here is you better hope these players don't keep performing or their keeper prices might be high, too.
Yeah, you might have to trade them.
Yeah, you got to trade him or something?
Trade him again. I think he might be trading him for draft money, too. Like, I can easily see him coming into draft season and saying, hey, you know, Evan Ingram's available for draft money.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's strong. I mean, I would rather have the option, you know, if Evan Engram and Juju come back cheap, to take them. Or, yeah, as you said, if they perform, that means you can trade them.
Yeah. So, I mean, actually, you just mentioned it, but the Juju Smith-Schuster trade. So you ended up sending Rob Kelly and Juju Smith-Schuster to Eric for Deion Lewis and Amari Cooper.
Yeah, so Eric initiated this trade. I think trying to get at the same thing that he did with the Engram trade. I had no plans on selling Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, I like what his at Pittsburgh offense. I certainly would have kept him. But I thought I saw an opportunity that I couldn't pass up on, which is get a very high ceiling player. And get a good keeper for next year, probably one of the better keepers, I think. So, but I had to sweeten the pot to have him throw Deion Lewis in there because, you know, now that I'm back in the playoff race, I got to make sure that I'm tooled up for the playoffs. So, I think I made him come off maybe a little more than he was looking to, but at the end of the day, I was happy. I'm happy with that trade, and he's happy with that trade. So, yeah, I'm for both parties.
All right, sounds good. And we'll hold off on the other trades that are up there because that'll be on next week's podcast. But in general, you know, you had these, I would say, groundbreaking moves that really solidified the teams that think they are contenders from the teams that are sort of stepping back and reassessing their chances at the playoffs.
Yeah. And that's what makes a dynasty league the dynasty league is, you know, you got to be forward thinking and you got to think about what's going to happen in the next season.
Right, exactly. And, you know, when you got 6 out of 14 teams that make it, in general, that should mean that people begin to make their decisions early. But because of the general landscape of the league, it is actually a little difficult to decipher whether or not you're in it. And so, you know.
Oh yeah.
There's examples of 2-5-5 teams, one of them thinks they're out, one of them thinks they're in. You get these sort of moves that are like, oh wow, I mean, you have the same record, but you're thinking completely different about this.
Exactly. Exactly. So basically, the story to that is, you know, guess right.
Yeah, exactly.
Guess right, because you don't want to ruin your chances either way. You don't want to set yourself up poorly for next. You don't want to go into the playoffs with a barren team.
Exactly. That's it. All right. So, I mean, great discussion about the league. Let's go into the power rankings for this week. In general, the power rankings are sort of, I mean, the same as they have been in recent weeks, just because there is, as you mentioned, there's like the top three teams, and then there's this jumble. This jumbled mess of teams, you know, all the way down to the 12th seed, basically. So, in general, the Week 9 power rankings, those top three teams, the order of them changes periodically. But here, I think it's pretty well established. I have Clint, and then I have JR, and then I have Brad. And this is, you know, after Brad lost to me, he basically was moved down to the third spot. But in general, you know, we have Clint, who was undefeated at that time, and then Brad and JR, who had good teams, but who had run on some bad luck recently.
Hmm.
Then,
yeah. So it's a little interesting when you look at the points for, because you know, Clint doesn't have as many points for as say like Brad or JR, but almost what's more important than it. Than just the total number is how they're distributed. So I think he's been very, very consistent. And we've seen Brad and JR's team put up the 200s, you know what I mean? Right. But at the same time, like, it's about that consistency. And I think that, you know, Brad's team, he's assembled a very good team, but you get Aaron Rodgers hurt for the year.
Yep.
And then Terrell Pryor doesn't work out. So, I mean, I think he's still heavily in contention, but I think you've got those first three right. I think and all of them are still really great teams. I mean, they're the competitive dominating teams that they were at the beginning of the season. So I expect that to continue.
All right. So I'm going to read 4 through 10 and then get your opinion on them, because I mean this is really in no particular order. I mean, there was some motivation. There was some motivation here, but it's just a kind of a jumbled mess. So
Yeah.
we have here, I had myself at 4, Ish at 5, Roland at 6, Chad at 7, you at 8, Eric at 9, and then Ronnie at 10. It's
It's
whatever. You just kind of take them
like,
and throw them up on a dartboard and
yeah. I mean, that's pretty much what it is at this point. The thing that'll be most interesting, and I'll have to look at this, is which ones of those teams play each other in the last 2 weeks. Like, that's going to be the interesting thing to look for in terms of people getting playoff spots. Because you're right, that 4-2-10 spot, I mean, you could almost just coalesce it into one entity and just be like, they all just look, they all look like very similar teams, and they all look like playoff contenders.
Right, absolutely. All right, and so then if we look at 11 through 14, we've got Joel at 11, we've got AJ at 12, Shane at 13, and then we've got Eric Farrow at 14. That's the power rankings.
All right. Do we have any future favorites yet?
I mean, I can't really say at this point. I think, my personal opinion, at least, not really based on any data or anything, AJ is close. And, I think he does not have an RB2 at all. So he's got LeSean McCoy, and then he's got nothing. Mike Gillisley has been inactive. And then, DeAndre Washington is really an ancillary piece there in Oakland, unless there's an
Right.
injury. So I think he'll have to make some moves to avoid putrid. And I know he's a little frustrated because it's going to be his first time, I think, ever in the league not making the playoffs, which is actually a
Right.
pretty impressive achievement over the 10 years that we've existed. So, it's going to be interesting to see how he deals with that, because he might end up being in that putrid bowl.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe it'll be a spur, kind of a hunger for next season, you know?
Right. And so just really quickly, I just wanted to kind of give a general view of how everything went for the week 10 power rankings and how things changed. So I'm just going to go through these really quickly, and we can talk about sort of how the positions changed. But for 1 through 3, I had Clint, and then JR and Brad switched. So it was Clint, Brad, then JR. And then 4 through 10, it was you, Ish, Chad, me, Roland, Eric, and then Ronnie. And then 11 through 14 were the same. It was Jewel, AJ, Shane, and then Eric Farrow. So there
Yeah.
was a lot of shifting sort of in the middle there.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, it's just kind of pick any of those teams and roll the dice, as we said before. I don't know if any one of those teams is strictly differentiating themselves. I am interested. I think Chad's team is catching fire.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah, so you look at somebody like Chad's team, but still, even by catching fire, like, he's still walking a tightrope, and it could be that he doesn't make the playoffs. So, competitive year. That's the way that this competitive year is going.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think you're spot on with that. All right, so moving forward, we basically went through our Smack Talk session, but I'll give you another platform here to talk about your win. Any other things you want to talk about? Maybe, taunting as you're securing a playoff spot. I think right now you're projected. I think you're at about a 60% chance to make the playoffs or so. So, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I was just gonna play the song Juju on that beat for like right, 5 minutes
right,
straight.
Right, right. But exactly.
I traded him away, so that doesn't really work anymore. So
I mean, it still counts because you used him.
Juju on that beat. Juju on that beat. Thing is that my team is starting to come on. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to remain humble because brother could get knocked out anytime. But I will say that it took a lot of patience this season to continue to try and improve my team when I go 1-4. You know what I mean?
And, right, right.
And Watson is running down the field with 5 seconds left to throw a playground lob to DeAndre Hopkins that's not even covered to make you lose the game. You know what I mean? That's tough to take. But I would like to be in a more secure position. As we said, these teams are still competitive. But I will say I hung in there, you know. And some of these offseason moves that I made are starting to come through. You know, T.Y. carried some games sometimes. So I'm just saying, you know, as a sophomore, I'm not going to say anything. But, you know, I'm gunning for the championship. You know, I'm going to try to make it there. And whoever I see there, if that's the case, I'm going to be ready to rumble.
All right. So I mentioned as of week 10, you had 60% playoff odds. Now, you know, just full disclosure, we're recording now at the beginning of week 11. So we know the week 10 results, but we're not going to talk about them on this podcast. But I do have a spreadsheet. And of course, you all know I have tons of spreadsheets that I work with. And one of them is to determine playoff odds. And at this point, when we're looking at week 11, we've got 5 teams that have very good odds. So, of course, Clint is in. He's mathematically in the playoffs. So he's at 100%. We've got Brad, who's at 7-3, and he's at about 99% playoff odds.
Okay.
We've got JR, who's at 95%. You're actually at 88%.
Wow.
Chad's at 82%, and then Ish is sort of where the drop-off occurs. So Ish is at 44%. Roland's at 36%. I'm at 33%. Ronnie's at 15%. Jules at 8%. Eric is at 2%. And then both AJ and Shane are at 1%. And then Eric Farrow is at 0%. So he is mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. he's the only team that's mathematically eliminated.
Again, tell me who is after me, and then what was Jules' percentage?
Okay, so the person after you was Chad, and he's at 82%.
Mm. And then Jules, one more after that?
One more after that is Ish, and he's at 44%.
Okay, and so you said
he's was sort of like he's the guy who fell below the 50% threshold, and everyone's kind of jumbled there. Jewel is at 8%, so she kind of represents that next tier, just below 10% odds.
Right. Wow. I mean, it's funny when you read those numbers and then you look at week 5. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
I mean, things just really converged very, very quickly. And some teams that are in it, you just wouldn't have expected. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a wild ride this season. And I think what's interesting is, like, you know, even though that's 2% and 8%, that, like, there's only, what, 2 teams that are mathematically eliminated, or one?
One, only one at this point. I mean, I would say that AJ most likely will not make it, like, but he's not mathematically eliminated.
Right. I mean, so that, I mean, that to me is a testament to this league. You know what I mean? Like, people are savvy here, and sometimes it's just a blow to win one way, blow to win the next way. But I do think that those numbers are about right. And I think probably some of the biggest surprises there would have to be Ish, you know, starting 6-0. And
yeah,
you know, when the fall happens, sometimes it happens hard, but hey, he won the Les Dutton Award for best publication. So he's still brushing his shoulders off, and he's probably just happy to have that.
Right, exactly. I mean, we could say sort of in the trophy mantle, he has won something that I have not won, and you've not won, and Roland has not won. So, you know, this is, he's got something. He's got a leg up on us. All right, so looking forward to week 10. As I mentioned, we do know the results, but we're just going to go over the matchups here from week 10. So looking forward to week 10, we got a number of destiny determining matchups, I'll say. So the first, I'm up against Jewel. Brad is up against Shane. AJ against Ronnie. We've got Roland against Ish. Clint's up against Eric Golden, and then Chad against JR, and then Eric Farrell went up against you. And, you know, I just wanted to kind of point out a couple of these matchups, the first being JR and Chad. From the projections, it looked like JR was going to absolutely murder Chad. now we know what happened here. And, you know, I won't spoil it for everybody. We'll deal with this in the Week 10 podcast. But it did not necessarily go down that way. And then the other matchup was looking at Shane and Brad. The projections were similarly bad for Shane. So Shane was really supposed to lose that matchup. And I will say there was a similar outcome there. Any impressions from Week 10?
I was really interested in the JR-ish match because this was kind of the opportunity for JR to right the ship. Again, you know, we've been in the DeLorean. We know what happens in the future. But we're just gonna let y'all see it. So everything else, I mean, again, Chad versus JR, that's one of those things where it's like, you know, you look at records week 5 and you're like, okay. Now, you know, it's not about what your team's record is, it's what your team's value is. So, you know, don't sleep on Chad. You know, I'm not sleeping on Chad. I want to beat him, but I ain't sleeping on him.
Well, I mean, you see, and, you know, I guess I'll go ahead and go through it, but you see, like, even now in week 11, we've got JR who is sitting at, he's sitting at 6-4 now. And kind of doubting his playoff chances to the point where, like, he's playing Clint in week 11, and now he's, like, scrambling to try to make his team beat Clint, almost to the detriment of his team going into the playoffs. Wow. And so you see people start to make these desperate moves when they start seeing that, you know, hey, perhaps I'm not going to make the playoffs because it's so tight here, you know, right, in the 4-6 range.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's tough, and I think as a team, when you start off undefeated for a long time, like, it almost makes it hurt more because you think you develop that cushion and then things start happening. But that's not to say that none of these teams that have lost steam are out of it, and it's not to say that none of the teams that have lost steam aren't still the most competitive teams. It's just sometimes things don't go how you expect.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. That is it. So, I mean, I guess at this point, we're pretty much done with week 9. And we'll come back with the week 10 podcast. We'll have Eric and Clint on for the week 10 podcast. Clint is the week 10 high points winner, so we'll be excited to hear from him. And I appreciate you, Simon, for coming on. I hope you come on again, not only as a host, but as the high points winner.
Hey, well, I'm trying to get it in rivalry week so I can, you know, pay it off, pay off some of this $100 paying, you know.
Right, exactly. And perhaps you can, you know, start supercharging your lineup soon so you can contend for that season end high points payout.
I mean, that's what I'm here to do. You know what I mean? Right. I'm gunning for that number one spot.
There you go. That's the spirit, man. That's exactly the attitude we need in this league.
Hey, well, hey, Commish, again to you. Thanks for everything that you do. You know, the analysis, the podcast, providing the platform, you know. When I forget to put in Sammy Watkins or take out Sammy Watkins, you know, you get the co-commiss to handle that. So Hey, salute to the commish. I really appreciate everything you do, man.
Yeah, no problem, man. I definitely enjoy all of you. And it's not just about the fantasy football, it's about the obviously the friendship and the camaraderie that happens. And I like building on that every year. So I appreciate everybody in the league for being who they are. And
Understand, but we need one more Colin Kaepernick political conversation before the end of the week because it's starting to die
yeah, exactly. I think we're being a little too cordial now. We gotta have something
down.
more. We gotta do something to make AJ angry. That's all we gotta do. All right, so I'm signing off for Simon and for myself, the commish. Thanks for listening to the Week 9 podcast. We'll see you in Week 10.